Israelis will not wake up one shining morning and say, we don't like this occupation, we don't like the apartheid, let's put an end to it. This will not happen, never. The only way to bring a change will be by international intervention.
Hey everyone, welcome back to MEE Live. My name is Mohammed Hashem. Israel's defense minister has said that Tel Aviv might resume its war on Iran soon. Now, this came during a ceremony speech he gave on Thursday. Here, have a listen to what he had to say.
Iran ספגה מכות קשות ביותר בשנה האחרונה, מכות שהחזירו אותה שנים אחורה בכל התחומים. ולהתאחנו בקרוב, תידרש לשוב ולפעול כדי להבטיח את מימוש היעדים.
Meanwhile, Israeli attacks on Lebanon have led to widespread destruction in the country, with homes and civilian infrastructure devastated and around a fifth of the population forced from their homes. And all of this is happening during a U.S. brokered ceasefire, which appears to be in name only as Lebanon continues to be bombed. Now, over 2,500 people have been killed since March, including children, journalists, and rescue workers, as entire villages have been reduced to rubble. Hezbollah has also launched attacks in northern Israel and areas in southern Lebanon occupied by Israeli forces, calling them retaliation for Israeli breaches of the ceasefire. Now, analysts were quick to draw parallels with the Gaza genocide, especially that Israeli officials have been openly indicating that tactics used there are now being applied in Lebanon. So, has Gaza become the playbook for Israel's ongoing wars? We're now joined by award-winning Israeli journalist and author Gideon Levy to help break this down. Mr. Levy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, sir. Sir, I want to start off with the defense minister, Israel Katz, about what he said at the ceremony the other day about this war with Iran reigniting soon. What are your concerns for reigniting this war right now?
First of all, my main concern is that this man is the defense minister of my country. And I wouldn't take his declaration seriously because he decides almost nothing. When it comes to war and I wanted to say war and peace, but Israel is not talking about peace. When it comes to major issues, it's only about Netanyahu, and we shouldn't leave too much room for the Minister of Defense. He said it mainly to his political base to show what a warrior he is, what a fighter he is, how radical he is. He will not decide anything about renewing the war with Iran. And I can tell you more than this. Even Netanyahu is not going to decide, because these kind of decisions are now exclusively in the hands of Donald Trump. Donald Trump will decide if there will be war or peace between Iran and Israel, or if the war with Iran will be renewed or not, not Israel.
Mm. But based on that, Gideon, Katz said during that speech, he also said that Israel now faces a historic opportunity to change the regional reality. I mean, how did you take that in?
It's not the regional change that the region needs. Mm. For sure not, according to the school of Israel Katz, who calls for all kind of adventures and violent actions for him, like for Netanyahu. The only language that can be used is the language of force, the language of military operation. They don't know any other language, for sure not Israel Katz. They don't even want to use any other language, for sure not diplomacy, for sure not with the Arabs. So again, with all the respect to the Minister of Defense of Israel, I wouldn't take him seriously about anything he says. It's all directed at his political base because he wants to be reelected by his party, and nothing else interests this man. And as I said, we are facing great challenges and maybe changes. Not Israel Katz is going to contribute to those changes. Mm. What changes can it be when Israel is not ready for any kind of agreement with none of the parties? Not with Hamas, not with Hezbollah, not with Iran. What kind of changes? More occupations, territorial occupations, maybe?
Can you actually expand on this? Because this is an important point, you know, that they're not ready. Can you expand on this note right here?
Netanyahu, and this I must say in favor of him, never believed in diplomacy, never believed in any agreements with the Palestinians. He always thought that we cannot trust the Palestinians. He always thought that the only language that we should use is the language of military force, and that Israel should live on its sword forever. That's his mindset. And Israel Katz, who is even more radical than him, for sure. Israel doesn't even consider any kind of diplomacy. Ever since the failure of the Oslo Accords, Israel never got back to the negotiation table with anyone, and not by chance. And any changes which will take place by bombardments are not really positive changes and cannot be positive changes. When Israel Katz speaks about changes in the Middle East, he speaks about changes which will be achieved by bombardments, by starvation, by siege, by transfer. This is not something very promising. And the only thing that I can say to comfort ourselves is that, as I said, Israel Katz is totally irrelevant.
Well, what can you say? What can you comment on the situation we're in right now? Because it's far from the first one. And what I'm referring to is the idea of a ceasefire being called and then Israel bombing the country it supposedly, or the area that it supposedly has a ceasefire with. What do you make of this? I mean, I was going to say, how does Israel justify? But I don't even think there's a need to understand Israel's justifications because they're quite one and the same. But how do you make of these similar situations that we keep finding ourselves in?
I think that the major change that we are going to see very soon, witness very soon, and it will be a very dramatic one, is the change of the American policy toward Israel. I think there will be a major shift and very soon. I think that...
What are you basing that on, Gideon? Can I ask?
I am basing it on the assumption that Donald Trump start to understand now that Benjamin Netanyahu pushed him to a war which brought him only damages. He sold him the notion that regime change will be possible within days. It didn't happen, and it's not going to happen under bombardments. And all of a sudden, more and more people start to ask in the United States, in Israel and elsewhere, what was it all about? What was this war in Iran? The nuclear capabilities were not touched. The Hormuz Strait, which was open before the war, is closed. There's no regime change, obviously. Nobody talks about the ballistic missiles and nobody even thinks to negotiate it. What was exactly achieved in this war and what was it about with all the enormous price that it took? So I guess that very soon the blame will be directed at Israel. Rightly or wrongly, the idea is that if Netanyahu went 7 times to Washington in the last year, he had only one goal, and this was to convince Donald Trump to go for this war. If it would have been a success, Donald Trump would be happily taking the full credit about this war. But as it becomes more and more, as it seems to become more and more a horrible fiasco, which complicated the whole region without any benefits to anyone, who got any benefits out of this war? What was improved by this war? Israel is a safer place. United States is a stronger country. I mean, what was achieved there? So the blame game will lead to Netanyahu and to Israel. And I guess that in any case, after Donald Trump, I don't see, would it be a Democrat or Republican, I don't see any American president who will continue the special relations with Israel, with all their implications. And this, in my view, is a major change in the Middle East, because Israel, without the United States, without the unconditional full support, is not the same Israel. And therefore, the Middle East will not be the same Middle East.
I mean, it would be a major development indeed, as you say. But yeah. I'm curious, how is this sentiment playing out in Israeli media? Is it playing out in Israeli media? Because if I'm not mistaken, Israeli public opinion is still in support of these various wars that Israel is currently leading.
Israeli media, mainly in the last 2.5 years, ever since the 7th of October, is not even an organ that I could call it a media. It's for sure no journalism. It's a brainwash system. It's an amusement system, an entertainment system, who tells the Israelis what they want to hear. No serious discourse, no serious debates about anything. And no, the major questions are even not being raised. Where are we aiming? What did we achieve? What is the next goal? How do we get out of it? Where are we aiming? What is the end game of all those horrible wars of the last 2.5 years? Everything is now focused on the elections as if they are going to be fatal. I don't think they are going to be fatal, because the alternative to Netanyahu basically believes in the same policies. There are changes, but those who think that Lapid will be good.
Naftali Bennett coalition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They stand for very similar things when it comes to the real strategic questions. They are very different when it comes to corruption, to respecting the legal system, many things. They are much better. But when it comes to question of occupation, wars, apartheid, they all supported it and still support it. They supported the war in Gaza. They supported the war in Iran. They have no intention to do anything about the Israeli occupation in the West Bank. What change is expected? So the media is, unfortunately, a very destructive factor in Israel. And it became more of a reality show rather than a real journalism.
Let me take you to Lebanon now and ask you about this, because as I mentioned in my introduction, there are analysts talking about, and security experts as well, talking about how Lebanon is Israel's using the Gaza playbook in Lebanon. Basically, that they're referencing what Israel Katz said before and other Israeli officials about applying the Rafah and Beit Hanun model to Lebanon, or to southern Lebanon to be exact. But what do you make of this analysis that Gaza is basically the playbook for what is happening in Lebanon right now?
You can see it on the ground. You hear it on declaration, and you see it on the ground. Under a ceasefire, so-called ceasefire, Israel is destroying the entire South Lebanon, village after village, exactly like Rafah, exactly like Beit Hanun, exactly like other places, and there is no one to stop Israel. And again, the question is not only the legitimacy of what Israel is doing, but what is the purpose? Israel occupied Lebanon twice already. Southern Lebanon for sure. It didn't lead Israel to no better place. Why do you think that a third time will be any better? So again, we are repeating the same mistakes, using the same very limited means that we have to try to get to a solution, namely destruction, starvation, military force, bombardments, and nothing else but this, except of these ridiculous negotiations in Washington between the Lebanese ambassador and the Israeli ambassador, which are a joke, because it's only to show off, to prove the American president that we behave ourselves and we are negotiating. It's not a serious negotiation, obviously. And again, the media doesn't touch. All those questions are not touched at all in Israel. You will open any given moment Israeli TV in any channel, and you will hear total disconnection with reality.
You know, let me follow up on this, because you're saying it occupied Lebanon twice and nothing happened or led Israel to nowhere. Now you can't see why a third time would be any different. But again, because this is a question that keeps coming up, the whole idea of what is Israel's endgame. And so two points that I think about. One is the whole idea of greater Israel, which means expanding Israeli territory. Or the other point is just creating wastelands, you know, Israel creating wastelands along its border. I mean, what do you think is the way forward here?
I would respect it if there would be a strategic plan for a greater Israel. So at least there is a plan. What, Israel is about to occupy Lebanon and run Lebanon or South Lebanon?
Or part
Israel
of
is going to occupy Gaza and run Gaza? No, in Gaza it was really a war of taking revenge, of punishment, about the 7th of October without any plan. Because nobody had any clue who is going to replace Hamas in Gaza. And still nobody knows who can replace Hamas, when Israel is even saying no to the PA. So who is going to run Gaza? The Jewish Federation of New York? I mean, nothing. And in Lebanon, it's the same. It's again and again to bomb, to show that we are the strongest, to show that we are the bully and nobody can stop us. And then it ends and you are in the same place. And yes, there are those who have those dreams, fantasies about greater Israel, including, by the way, the American ambassador to Israel,
Mike
the official ambassador of the United States,
yeah.
Michael Huckabee, whose plan, he mentioned it, not me, whose idea is, whose vision is Israel controlling practically the entire Middle East, from Iraq to Egypt, including everything. You see, that's the zeitgeist. That's now the spirit of the period. Everyone throws all kinds of lunatic ideas, and there is no plan for anyone, for anything, neither to the Americans, nor to the Israelis, nor to the Palestinians. Even the Palestinians don't really know where are they aiming. Except of, you know, getting rid of the occupation, but that's not the plan.
Well, this actually takes me to my last question, because I was reading your latest column that you wrote for us for Middle East Eye, and you said that nothing has fundamentally changed in 78 years. Israel still believes it can live by the sword alone. And just based on that, Gideon, I mean, I want to ask you more about this note, but I also want to ask you if you believe that there will ever be a moment of reckoning in Israeli society.
This moment will not come from within the Israeli society. Israelis will not wake up one shining morning and say, we don't like this occupation, we don't like the apartheid, let's put an end to it. This will not happen, never. The only way to bring a change will be by international intervention. Exactly like the South African model. I'm sure, or almost sure, that the apartheid system in South Africa would have lasted forever if not the international community. And I think the same is true about Israel, or maybe even more. Because in Israel, it's not a tiny minority like in South Africa, who runs a huge, huge majority. In Israel and Palestine, it's two peoples, both quite equal in numbers, and one people denies all the rights of the other one and has no intention to change this and no incentive to change it. So as long as Israel can, it will continue its policies. It will stop it only if it will feel that it's becoming impossible, like the white regime in South Africa felt in a certain stage that they cannot go on, the business community came to the government and said, we cannot take it anymore. Maybe this day will come, but it will not be an initiative of Israel or of Israelis, of any Israeli politician that I know right now. So we have to wait until the international community will finally wake up. And what is and going to happen in the relations between Israel and the United States is really fatal, is really extremely important. I can't exaggerate about it. It's really, really going to be very dramatic and maybe very soon.
And we're going to leave it here. Gideon Levy, thank you so much for coming on MEE Live, sir.
Thank you, Mohammed, for having me.